Do take up your Bibles and turn with me back to our New Testament reading, the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, this wonderful account of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which is entitled in my Bible, He is Risen. What a joyful phrase to say. What a wonderful thing to sing. That Jesus Christ, the Lord, is risen today. We have that wonderful, glorious knowledge that we celebrate, that understanding, that this is true, that this is a fact, a historical fact, that Jesus Christ is risen and ever lives today. Whatever is involved today in your celebration of Easter, however much of the chocolate eggs, however much you've been enjoying the lovely spring sunshine today, whatever it is that you plan to do on this day, I pray that you remember in everything that you do that He is risen, that there is new life, that there is hope and there is joy today. The wonder, you see, the wonder and the glory of the Christian faith, the very heart of it, is here, isn't it? The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. For if Christ is not risen, then we are to be pitied, are we not? Our hope is in vain. Our faith is futile, says the Scriptures, if Christ is not risen. But we know that He is. We know that He is, because the Word of God tells us that He is. Because we know Him. If we have indeed met with Him, if we have come to Him in repentance and faith, if we know Him by that faith, by the Holy Spirit within us, then we know that He is risen because we know Him. And this one astonishing event in history is the fulcrum, it is the pivot point on which all of history is balanced. And it is the power of God for the forgiveness of sins, for the justification of sinners, and for the salvation of His people. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the capstone of God's work of redemption. It is the crowning glory, the completion of that work which Christ was sent by the Father to do. And it is the proof that our sin debt to God, that debt which Christ took upon Himself to pay on our behalf, has been fully satisfied. Christ is risen. Hallelujah, He is risen indeed. Were He not risen, then our faith is futile. We are dead in our sins. We could have no confidence that death and hell and the devil are defeated enemies. We could have no confidence in our forgiveness, no confidence to stand before His throne, no confidence to come in prayer to Him. We would have none of those things. But because He is risen, we know this is true. Thanks be to God that we have been left in no doubt that Jesus Christ rose again for our justification. We are begotten. Christians, believers today, are begotten again to a living hope. Not a dead hope. A living hope, for we serve and we worship and we adore and we love a risen Saviour. And when we gather, when we come together on the Lord's Day, we celebrate, we remember, we commemorate His resurrection. That's why we meet on a Sunday, after all. The Jews, they meet on a Saturday, on the old Sabbath day. But we meet on Sunday, for it is on Sunday that Christ rose, the first day of the week. And we remember His life which goes on. We live in the light of all that God has accomplished in His Son. Even the way we organize our week and our lives has changed because Christ has risen. But on this morning of all Sunday mornings, of course the emphasis is on the resurrection of our living Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning we're going to examine this passage briefly together, this passage which records the discovery and the revelation of the risen Jesus among his friends, among his disciples. And so what I want to do is to guide you through three effects that the resurrection had and still goes on having today. Three effects of the resurrection from this passage this morning. And the first is that Christ's resurrection was a terror and is a terror to his enemies. Christ's resurrection is a terror to his enemies. See the effect that resurrection had in verses 2 and 3 and 4. There was a great earthquake, and the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and rolled back the stone from the door. He sat on it. His countenance was like lightning. His clothing as white as snow. And the guards, they shook for fear of him and became like dead men. You know, those guards were there at the behest of the Roman governor, at the need for security because of the wishes of the temple council. They stand in for us as representatives of all who reject Jesus' testimony, all that rejected it in that day, and all that continue to reject it today. And when the earthquake struck and that angel descended to roll away the stone, those brave, strong, loyal soldiers of the Roman Empire, they shook with fear, frozen to the spot. The text describes it as if they were like dead men. If we are outside of Jesus Christ, if we have rejected the truth that he brings, the truth of the gospel, the reality of the resurrection, then his return from the grave is a crushing blow to all our pride and vanity. Because in it, the world is brought face to face, not only with the reality of our own mortality in the presence of the one who ever lives, who couldn't be killed, but also we are brought face to face with the power of God, the power over life and death, eternal power. We are earth, we are dust. Our best virtues, our greatest righteousness, simply filthy rags before his holy perfection. Our existence, like the grass which is blown in the wind and gone. And in just the same way as this, his final return, his second coming, will bring fear upon those who did not expect it or prepare for it. And on that day, when he returns in glory, when he returns in might and power, when he comes with the clouds of heaven, the great and the good will cry out to the very mountains and the rocks of the earth to fall upon them and hide them from the face of him who sits on the throne, from the wrath of the Lamb who comes in judgment. For when Christ comes in glory to judge, there will be no hiding place. There will be nowhere which we can run to hide, where our guilt can be stashed away. For he knows all things. He knows our wickedness. He knows your ways. He knows your hearts. There is no hiding place, and the fear and the terror of the Lord will be upon those in the earth who didn't believe that there was such a thing as the wrath of God, who didn't believe that there was such a thing as sin against the holy God. Where are you today? What is your condition today? If you are in that place, if you do not know, if you do not believe today, if you think that you're doing okay, that if judgment came, you would be on the right side because you're mostly okay. Know that that is not the case. And don't delay a moment longer, but wake up. Be awakened to the reality of your sin and what it will cost you. Because remember what it cost him to pay for it. It cost Jesus Christ, the Son of Glory, the Son of God. It cost him his life. Do you think it will cost you less? Accept that you cast your burden upon him. Accept that you put your trust in him. You have heard the reality of your situation. You know it. You've seen it in the words of our Lord and Saviour. Do not delay. Tomorrow is not promised. And only the Holy Spirit can work in your heart to make you feel your sin. The weight of your guilt bearing down upon you. The knowledge that judgment awaits. Cast your burden, your guilt, your sin upon the Saviour on Calvary. And in faith and repentance be cleansed and flee the wrath which is to come. For the resurrection of Jesus Christ is a terror to his enemies. He, even Jesus, that terror is the only way by which you can be reconciled to God. And if you come to him in repentance and faith today, you will escape that terror tomorrow. He is the way we can be reconciled to God. Only he. Instead of fear and terror at his approach, if you know him, if you love him, if you trust him and believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, then instead of that fear and that terror, like those guards who shook and became like dead men, you can know what his friends know. You can know what his brethren know in this passage. For that resurrection, that same wonderful, glorious event that was a terror to Christ's enemies, that is still today a terror to Christ's enemies, is also, secondly, a comfort to his friends. The resurrection is a comfort to his friends. Do not be afraid, says the angel to the women in verse 5. Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, as he said. Contrast then the response of those brave, strong, powerful guards who shook and shaked of fear and fell down as if they were dead. Contrast their response to before the angel of God when he brought this message with the response of Jesus' friends. These women who came to that tomb that morning, they saw the same sights. They heard the same sounds. They felt the same quaking of the ground. But to them, the messenger of God, the angel, speaks not terror, not fear, but comfort. They had heard the words of Jesus. These women had heard the words of Jesus when he told them that he would die and rise again. But surely they hardly dared to believe it. Perhaps they thought he was speaking figuratively of those things, and, you know, like his parables. But they came to that tomb that morning seeking Jesus who was crucified. And what they found was Jesus who is risen. They came seeking Jesus who was crucified, but they found Jesus who is risen. And in rising, and in the words of his herald, that angel that sat before them, they were consoled. They were comforted. Their hearts were cheered. They had spent the last few days in mourning and grief and sorrow, in fear and trembling, but now they were comforted. Because all the benefits of Christ's redeeming work are passed on to those who believe. To all who receive him, there is deliverance from the weight of guilt, the burden of shame, because Jesus has carried it away, washed away in his blood, carried away in his death, that we might be redeemed from the curse of God's law, because Jesus Christ became a curse, took on that curse for you and for me. We are saved from God's wrath, from the wrath of the Lamb, because Jesus bore it all away. And he stands before them. In that moment, he stands before them. He meets them, encourages them to rejoice in verse 9. Rejoice, he proclaims. He stands before them whole, living. Whereas the enemies of Christ will shake in fear when he returns in the clouds of heaven. When the earth quakes and the judgment comes, his friends, clothed in the righteousness of Christ, will be found without fault before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, according to the righteousness of Christ. How blessed are they who know the Lord. How blessed are they who know the Lord. How blessed are they who know the risen Jesus Christ, and that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Who is he who condemns, writes the apostle in Romans 8 verse 34. Who can condemn? No one, because Christ has died and furthermore is risen, who is even at the right hand of God today, who makes intercession for us. What great comfort we have in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If indeed we know the risen Saviour today, do you know the Saviour? Have you met with him? Have you come to him in repentance and faith? Have you cast upon him the burden of your sin and your guilt and shame? If you have, then you know that same comfort. But you know more than this. My brother, my sister, you know more than this comfort. For thirdly, the sinner saved in Jesus Christ also knows his resurrection is grace to his brethren. Grace to his brethren. Rejoice, said Jesus as he met them from the tomb. Rejoice in verse 9. Do not be afraid. Rejoice, do not be afraid. Jesus himself appears. Wasn't enough simply to have the messenger, the angel there, but Jesus himself appears to them and calls on them, commands them, rejoice. And we have great reason to rejoice this morning. Those of us who are in Jesus Christ, we have great reason to rejoice because Christ is risen. Because he lives again. He ever lives. The ladies, the women here who went to the tomb were privileged to meet him, to receive him risen. As if they'd not had enough of a shock for the day when they arrived at the tomb and found it empty and were met with the angel. No wonder Jesus had to repeat that message that the angel said, "Do not fear." Must have been some shock that morning. And so he commands them to rejoice. That command which echoes through the ages. That command which speaks of his victory over sin and death being complete. And for those that are in Christ, there is nothing more to fear. There are no more terrors. Because nothing can undo what Christ has done. Nothing can take away his grace, for it is undeserved. Nothing can separate the beloved from the love of God. the grace and compassion that Jesus demonstrated before his disciples, to them and with them during his ministry. He's not forgotten that in the day of his triumph, in the day of his great and mighty victory over the powers of sin and hell, over all his enemies. He has not forgotten, he has not become proud, though he has every reason to be full of glory, full of praise, full of wonder. No, his first thought is for those scattered and fearful disciples. He tells those before him, do not fear. Gives a word of encouragement and hope for them to give to the others. Though they had been weak, though they were scattered and fearful, though they had failed when faced with the greatest test of their faith, when Christ was taken from them, when he was arrested in the garden, when he was taken away and put on trial, they denied him, they fled. Despite that, despite their failings, he still calls them his brethren. He did not cast them off. He did not forget about them and move on. They may have felt fallen short in the profession of their faith. They may have felt the fear of man and their strength and their faith and their trust crumbled. But they are still his own. They are still his brothers, his brethren. They are still the ones he chose, the ones he called to himself, and nothing can cast them off. The best of believers deserves nothing from God and nothing from his Son but the wrath and punishment of eternity for our sins. Because all have sinned, as the Bible tells us, all have sinned and fallen short of his glory. None of us deserve anything but his wrath. And that is why it is by grace that you have been saved, if indeed you are saved in Christ today. No matter how weak your faith, no matter how feeble your profession, it is not the strength of your faith or the boldness of your profession which saves. It is Jesus Christ who saves. It is the risen Lord who saves. It is our God who saves. For he has lived and he has died and he is risen again in glory, and he ever lives today at the right hand of the Father in heaven for you, interceding on your behalf, that in your weakness, in my weakness, we have one who speaks to God for us. We have the means by which to enter into the holy place, to know God. For Christ is risen. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is indeed a terror to his enemies, striking fear into the hearts of the ungodly and awakening sinners to repentance. May it awaken you today. May that fear, may that terror, that concern for your own soul. Do you have a concern for your own soul this morning? Do you have a concern for eternity? We care for our bodies, don't we? We make sure we look after them. We put into them the right food. We look after them. We exercise them. Well, some of us do. We take care of ourselves. But what about our soul, which is eternal? We have an eternal soul given to us by God. Is it not a terrible thought to think that that soul will know the wrath of God in eternity because of what you do here today? That resurrection of Jesus Christ is indeed a terror to his enemies. It is the proof of his deity, the proof of his words. It is the hope of his people. But it is fear to those who reject him. Yet in that fear, in that terror, that resurrection, that hope, calls the sinner to repentance. Is he calling to you today? Does he call upon your heart? Do you feel the weight of your sin? Is he awakening you this morning as Christ himself awoke to new life? Is he awakening you? The resurrection of Jesus Christ, the terror to his enemies, but also a comfort to his friends. For if you come to him in repentance and faith, if you believe and trust in the living, risen Jesus Christ, then his resurrection is an assurance of your debt having been paid. It is assurance of restoration of that relationship with God, reconciliation with God in heaven, your Creator. It is a repairing of that relationship. It is a joining with your Creator, a restoration of your very person, that you can know God and the comfort of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the hope of glory in the face of the Redeemer. And that same resurrection, which is a terror to his enemies, a comfort to his friends, is grace today to his brethren, grace to those who know him, the undeserved favour of God, poured out upon those who come in repentance and faith, forgiveness and salvation to the weak and sinful who cast themselves in hopelessness upon the only hope of the world. Three very different effects of the resurrection for you this morning: a terror to his enemies, a comfort to his friends, grace to his brethren. Which one of these do you know today? Do you know all three, perhaps? Do you know that terror, that fear? Is that dawning on you today by the Holy Spirit putting his finger upon your sins and upon the price that you will pay? Know that if you come to Christ in repentance and faith, you will know that comfort too, and that grace, and his love, and that hope, and every blessing and benefit that is in Jesus Christ will be yours if you come to him today. Come to Jesus. Come to the risen Jesus. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. He is risen indeed. This day, let us rejoice as he commands and be glad in him. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all of your blessings and grace to us. We thank you for the benefits of the resurrection, the effects which ripple out through time, Lord, forwards and backwards, from that moment at the cross, from that moment on Calvary, from that moment at the tomb, Lord. Salvation, Lord. Forgiveness in Jesus' name. Reconciliation with you, our Heavenly Father. Lord, may we know, may each and every one of us here today know that comfort, know that grace, know that love. And Lord, if we need to know the terror, awaken us to it, Lord. Awaken each one to it, Lord. That in out of that fear and out of the love that you have shown us, that we might come to you and find salvation and hope and love and joy in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Saviour. Amen. Amen.